vintage hats, shirts, golf gear supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips of cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders.
Oh, song's up.
Hey, everybody.
Song's over.
Welcome back to the Reselling Raiders podcast, where we talk everything from eBay to whatnot. I'm Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. We definitely have a jam-packed show tonight. I want to ask the guys, for one, what is a grail? And kind of when we're outsourcing. And the other thing is, we got to get back to, I kind of teased it at the end of the last podcast. I want to make sure you remind me to get back to the online sourcing that we were talking about, and where you can go for that. A huge shout out to our top five cities. We've got Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, Ashburn. I think that is Virginia.
Whoa.
Minneapolis and the Village. So Pittsburgh has had
a village like Orlando.
I think so.
There we go.
So, nice.
Pittsburgh.
We're good with all the age groups.
Welcome in, Quirky. Welcome in, Deb.
What did you say, Farda?
The Villages is like a retirement community.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. Completely.
Who?
It's like the biggest retirement community.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys need to watch the, watch the YouTube documentary about the Villages and them stealing all the water.
Is that where all the pineapple stuff goes down?
Yeah.
That's is exactly it really?
Where I go. Yeah, dead serious. Yeah. Yeah, I would just like all three of the people in the chat to enjoy my absolutely massive American flag. Thank you. STD capital of Florida. Absolutely. You got a bunch of dirty D old men just slanging it, you know? Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome.
So I guess you don't hang out there much?
No, but I mean, there's always estate sales, you know? Makes sense because they're all going to the Rainbow Bridge pretty often. So I've never been to one, though. I've never been to one. It's still like 2.5 hours south.
Well,
Rob's about to lose it.
maybe you should go trick or treat there tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you guys doing? You taking your kid or your kids are not, they're too old.
They had a Halloween party last night here. There was like 10 high schoolers here. I went upstairs as soon as the first person walked in. Do you have the cool house?
Does your son have his boys over often or no?
Not really. Kind of like my two younger ones, they have been inviting people over more than my oldest one would never invite any of his friends over ever. I think he thought his dad was going to say something crazy and make him look stupid. I don't know exactly why, but the younger ones are like, hey, yeah, come over. We'll have a Halloween party. And
maybe he's read your replies to comments on.
Yeah.
Maybe.
My dad's off the chain. I ain't messing around at all.
Yeah. What do they call it? Crash out?
They think crashing out.
Yeah, my dad's gonna be a crash out and he's gonna be go viral for something. But
do you have strict rules at your house, Stephen? Like, hey, can I ask you this? How old is the your oldest that lives at home?
They're both 16.
16. What's their bedtime?
Well, they're 15. They're going on 16.
What do they have bedtimes like during the week or?
I don't enforce the bedtime. I mean, besides I'm not that strict. They're really good kids.
Yeah, that always helps.
They're really good. The only real rules I ever had for them was they have to be involved in something, whether it's sports, and none of them really like sports, so they all just kind of went to band. That's the only thing I really told them in high school. My youngest was student of the month.
The
first month of school. But that was just my deal. They had to do something. They weren't going to come home and play video games all day long, every day. And I didn't really care what they did. If they found some kind of extracurricular activity with the school, they could do that. If they didn't want to do band, then do the chess club. I don't care. But just do something. I think it's super important for kids to not get caught up in that online life too much every single day after school.
Yeah, exactly. Hats for days. What's up, dude?
I would concur with that, but I would just caution you a bit because they may end up 7,000 miles away.
Yeah. Like,
what's up, Andrew?
Yeah, that's
Andrew.
That's one of them.
Good to see you.
I had a 9 p.m. bedtime all throughout high school. A highly enforced 9 p.m. bedtime.
Amanda lets him stay up till 9:30 now.
Yeah,
they have to be to band practice every single morning. We have to be to school by 7, and we're like almost 45 minutes away. They have to be up at 5:45 every morning. So
what's the license thing? Do they get theirs at 16 in Oklahoma, or is it like
15? They can. My oldest son didn't get his license until he got his license at 16. He never drove.
Do we have a theory on like why the kids that are, I mean, I guess they're the same generation as me, I guess. I mean, your kids could never have been my kids, but what is up with like the newer, like the younger young adults or mid teenagers just not giving a single shit about driving? Do you guys find that like that seems incredibly
for sure.
Common.
They don't really, neither one of my younger ones have like been like, hey, I want to drive, or I want to get my license, I want to go here. My oldest never did until he moved to college. It's really now when he started driving a lot, and he's just putting around the college town there now, is all he's really doing there. I don't know. As soon as I was 16, I was 15 and a half, I had a job. And 16, I had to drive to that job. And my whole family life was different at that point, though. My parents were divorced. I lived with my mom, and she wasn't around that much. And so I had to be a little bit more independent. But either way, with these kids, I don't know. It's not just my kids. It's a lot of kids just don't drive anywhere. I think Uber's easy to get too. And I think the economy and buying an extra vehicle is not as easy anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the kids nowadays do not have it anywhere near as easy as some of us did growing up getting vehicles. I mean, you know, when I grew up, you could take $500,000 and go buy yourself a pickup truck.
Right. That's what I did.
Oh.
Had a little
yeah, I mean, I was like
for the keg parties.
Yeah, we got ours at 15 and a half in California. And then for six months, you could drive, but you couldn't drive anybody under the age of 25 unless it was your family member. So there was like a little, you know, I guess like a little. Yeah, but it was like you could drive alone though. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you didn't have to drive with your parents. Like you could drive alone. You just couldn't drive with like a bunch of other high schoolers. That's a kind of like, they were trying to not allow the influence of like having, you know, 5 or 6 15 year olds in the car doing, you know, a bunch of crazy stuff. But I mean, I think it was the day that I turned 15 and a half that I was like, see ya, you know?
Yeah.
Like I lived, I think maybe a mile from my high school. It was right down the road. Yeah. right down the road from my high school. And like, I remember the first probably like week that I had my license and I was driving to school. Like, I couldn't wait to get out of school just to drive like that 1 mile home. Cause I was just like so stoked about driving. Yeah, but that's like super common. All of my friends out here that have kids that have either just graduated or just about to graduate, you know, 10th, 11th and 12th grade, they're just like completely do not care at all about driving. And I'm like, huh. But is that as a parent, you want your kids to drive? Like, you don't want to drive them everywhere, right? I'm sure it's like, you're like, I don't really want to drive you to the mall.
I don't, most of what they do is school related activities. So I don't mind. I take my kids to school every single morning. And I would much rather do that. Like I said, we live quite a ways away too. We moved.
Yeah, that is very far.
30 minutes away. So, I mean, if it was 2 minutes down the road to school, I probably wouldn't have as big a problem with it, but we didn't want to change the school.
So you're driving 2 hours round trip every day? Or like 2 hours total every day?
It's on the way to the bend.
Well, I take them to school. Mary picks
That'd
them
be
up.
Nice. Okay.
So
Mary's not she's not the early riser.
No, well, she gets them up, but I get up too. And she usually starts taking pictures while I'm gone. So as soon as I get back, I can just start listing as soon as I get back.
Mary's getting on that grind, man. Yeah. She's got to make that money.
Yeah, Mary's on that. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, Mary's coin operated. She's like, we got to get to this money today.
Yeah.
I love that. That's cool, man.
And to answer that question, I think COVID had something to do with it too. Because a lot of people went work from home. And so the parents were home more. And you probably see it swing back a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Because I mean, like, I think it feels like everybody up until like my age bracket was just gung-ho about getting a car, you know, like, and just,
because, you know,
going out. And then it's like,
as we were approaching your age bracket, we couldn't connect with each other like we can now.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You know,
back in our day, if you wanted to talk to them, you had to pick up the phone or go see them.
Yeah. Social media may have a lot to do with it too. Just how connected everything is.
Yeah, my age bracket is the last generation. Like, I didn't have any social media until I was, I think, a sophomore in high school. You know what I mean? So, like, I didn't have, like, you know, we didn't even text. You know what I mean? It was all just like my parents didn't even have texting. It was just like you'd call and, you know, see what was up. But I think that's a super good point too, because I say that about high school reunions, right? Like everybody, like, you know, the 10-year reunions and 20 years and stuff like that. And I'm like, all of that stuff doesn't matter at all anymore, because like, if I want to know what, you know, Brittany from high school was up to, you just go on Instagram. You know how many kids she has, how many, like, is she married? You know, what kind of job is she doing now? Like, there's no, when you go to the reunion or whatever, it's like, I'm going to tell you about everything that you already know probably about my life, unless you just don't do social media, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, that is.
Well, all right. So let's get to 13. I wanted to ask you guys, what is kind of, when you, I guess, kind of thinking more about eBay or whatnot, I guess, when you decide whether you're going to pick something up, is there usually like a dollar amount that you have in mind? Like, I'm only going to pick this up if I think this is worth X amount of dollars. And well, what's like a banger? What's a banger now?
I'd say if you find something for $100, as long as you're at, yeah. Because it's like, you could find something for $1,000 and pay $500. And like, you know, is that still a banger? Even though the dollar amount of profit is still a lot more, but is it like, are you as excited to find something for $500 and sell for $1,000? Or are you as excited to find something for $1 that sells for $100 or $200? You know what I mean? Like, even though I know the money's bigger, but your buy-in price is also a lot bigger. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that equates to being a banger. I think when you're talking about a banger, it's something that everybody has, not just an intrinsic value to it, money wise, but there's something to it. Like that, like I texted you guys that Pebble Beach I picked up yesterday. That's a banger, but that's because that is old school Pebble Beach, and golf guys would just love it. I mean, I paid $3 for it. What do I get for it? I don't know. 50, 100, who knows? Whatever somebody wants to pay for it, but I still think it classifies as a banger. Did I even show it to you?
I saw it on the text, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think too, Steven, that like, if you're talking about grails, like there's personal grails.
Yeah, that's
a dope-ass sweater. And it's like it has that good earth tone too, which is like.
Really did you solid. See it, Dan? But
that like when you talk about grails, I think you can talk about personal grails that are like, you know, childhood cartoons or you know what I mean, like stuff like that. That's like, yeah, does this shirt go for $1,000? Maybe not, you know what I mean? But like to you, it's like this is it reminds you of, you know, being a kid eating cereal on a Saturday and like watching this thing, or you know what I mean? I think any yeah. banger or grail is like hard to find. Like you're not just gonna go on eBay and like, you know, there might be a couple of them listed or something like that, but there's not gonna be 1,000 of them listed. And you know, you're obviously like your resale price has got to be like pretty dang good. Bread and butter. That's
yeah, perfect. I hope I'm saying the name right. Apoka. Apoka Baka says bread and butter is $25 profit. A banger would be about $100 profit, and a grail would be $500 profit. I think that's a pretty
good. Has Apoka Baka been in our pods before or no?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Apoka Baka.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They have?
Yes. Okay. You struggled with his name last time.
Oh, my bad.
Okay.
But I think
there was somebody close. In one of my Whatnot shows, like two shows ago, that had a name that was like kind of similar to that. And I was like, I don't know how to say it either.
So, yeah. I don't know.
But Dad, I bought that yesterday at the thrift store.
I watched your show. So you had a show like two nights ago, right? Mike, mm-hmm. another women's show. And if y'all haven't been to that show, you got to go. One, because he's selling bangers for $1. And I was like, I couldn't
believe it. On that.
It got and that's what I couldn't, I don't know. I really admire you for being able to stay at it and not get too discouraged for $100 purse selling for $3 to $5.
It was three dollars.
I literally missed that, or I would have bought the damn thing.
I had no idea. It looked super cool. I couldn't tell if it was.
Yeah, that's why I looked it up beforehand. I've said this before, boys. A Farina or something like that candy bag for Farima, or it was like a red, like I don't even know that material. It's like a almost like a rubbery plastic, like thick, like I can't describe it. It's hard to describe, but it's dope as shit. And I looked up the brand, and there are plenty of sold copies for like 70, 80 bucks. But anyway, I've said this before a million times, right? After thousands and thousands of items sold on that platform, I very rarely comp stuff, very rarely for that reason. But when I was at the flea market last weekend, I looked it up just because I had never heard of it before. And like, and it didn't even pop into my mind of like, hey, I'm going to put this in a show. It was just like, I'm going to look this up because like I could put it on eBay or whatever. And I was like, oh dude, like this is like a good brand. Like this purse sells at a decent rate, nothing crazy, but a decent rate for good money. And and like the worst part about it is that I paid $5 for it. So like, not only did I just get totally cooked on like just the potential of it, but like even on like the very like micro scale of it, I also got destroyed by freaking $2. You know what I mean? So I was like, I was just you know, but it's one of those things that like, that's what I'm saying is I don't get upset about that kind of stuff because I also ran 100 pieces of jewelry that, you know, I paid 50 cents to a dollar for, no more than a dollar, period, for. And like, you know, that's like $200-$300 in profit. You know what I mean? So it's like, do I really care that much about that one thing? Like, nah, not really. You know what I mean? Like, would I run another one? Absolutely not. But, you know, it's just,
you should one of those at least things. Text your friend and say, hey, like, this is $100 purse. You might not let it go for $3. I mean, you might at least swipe one more time.
Actually, honestly,
I would have given you four, bro.
Yeah. All the purses are, all the purses are like, just did really shit, which is like interesting because the purses that I've had in the three shows prior to that, like, all did like relatively well, you know?
And it seemed like everybody was asking for you to run purses too.
Which was, you know how many requests I got for this? I got a billion people asking me.
Is he fuzzy to you?
Yep.
Yeah. But anyways, go ahead. Yeah, you've been like, I can't even see you really, but we can hear you good.
How about now?
It's a little better. I mean, your mustache is coming. Cool. There's a little more no.
Yeah, stop moving.
No?
I don't know. I think your internet's just bad. But we can hear you fine.
Okay, as long as you can hear me. You don't need to see me.
He's got a face for radio anyway.
Yeah, it's a Hello Kitty freaking lounge fly bag or whatever. And I got so many, you know, everybody's like, oh, run that. And then I ran it, and then it was like $11. It's like, dude, I never had so many people ask me to run something. And
you sold a Hello Kitty lounge fly for $11?
Yeah, hey, listen, join those shows, dude. Well, this was the other thing too, is that I originally started these shows at 10:30 p.m., right? Super late, kind of like cornering, you know, the market in a way with the time. And then they go on for so long.
After a pod.
Yeah, and so I went 10:30, and then I was like, I need to start trickling down into like a normal time frame. So then I went 10 o'clock. 9:30. I think that one was at 9:30. And like at 9:30, there were still our mom, my buddy, was like, dude, when you went on, there were four people in that category that had 100 or more viewers. You know what I mean? And so to still pull like 40-ish or whatever was like, I was totally cool with that. You know what I mean? Like, considering that there's, you know, other shows going.
Don't forget, there is a
with that many.
There is a lull between East Coast and West Coast time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it gets filled with the center of the country, but you get an East Coast crew that comes through, a big old lull, and then like an hour and a half later, you get a West Coast crew that comes in.
Yeah. So, I screwed up all the numbers. Took me 5 hours to ship it today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a
so you put like one on the wrong thing, and so they were all wrong.
No, what I did was I had light stickers, heavy stickers, and jewelry stickers, and I, for whatever reason, kept putting jewelry stickers on the heavy stuff. So then, by the time I went to the jewelry, my mind was just like, oh well, this is number whatever. So I just grabbed it, and it was a heavy sticker. So then I had like a bunch of jewelry with one sticker on it, and then a bunch of jewelry with another sticker on it, and all the numbers were like the same. You know what I mean? They were like, I had 2 13s and 2 26s, and it was just a nightmare. So
did you have to go back and watch the show?
I had to watch, I would say, so there were 192 items, 63 individual orders, and I had to watch it at a minimum. I had to watch 35 of those. So yeah, it was horrible, dude. It was so horrible.
That is terrible. Quirky. Yeah. I will answer your question. He says, I'm new to Whatnot. How are people able to sell stuff so cheap? It's more of a volume game and picking it up for cheap. I mean, you're getting stuff for like Mike said, for 50 cents or a dollar, and you picked up a bunch of stuff for 50 cents or a dollar, and you ran 100 of them, and they sold for $2 or $3 average, then you made $200 or $300 in an hour.
Right. Yeah, you're definitely not trying to get your return like in any other platform like eBay or Mercari or whatever. Your Whatnot has its own lower return that you're looking for. Because just like Steve is saying, you're trying to sell a bunch of stuff as fast as possible.
Yeah, like Nike. I mean, well, I ain't gonna lie. Who is the dude that just went down for all the stolen Nikes?
Cool Kicks.
Yeah, what is that?
Cool Kicks. Yeah. I mean, some of them could be stealing. I don't know. I'm not accusing anyone of doing anything, but some of it is just closeout clearance. And some of them are actual like companies. They're just trying to move the inventory on the back end too. They're just trying to get rid of it. Sometimes space is more important in retail than money, because you got to have space to be able to put more inventory. And so a lot of the bigger people might be using it just to move stuff out to make space for the new stuff. So
yeah, and a lot of other people are buying, you know, wholesale reduction pallets that are 2 years or last year's inventory, and they're getting it for pennies on the dollar and reselling it for what they can.
Yeah.
There's lots. Don't get scammed. I went to the bins the other day, and like I said, I don't go there very often, but I went to the bins the other day and I picked up one shirt, and it was a women's shirt, but it had like this kind of this like chain that went with it. Right. It was like a beaded chain. So it was like it was a little bit of a heavier women's shirt. It wasn't super heavy, but it was just like added a little bit of weight to it. I got that one shirt and it cost me 22 cents. That was how much it cost for that one shirt. And this is what is what I say. You sell that shirt for even $1, right? On Whatnot, $1 equals 59 cents. That's what actually gets deposited. So if you look at it that way, you're up 37 cents, right? So just if you started at $2, then you're at like $1.50 or like whatever the after fees are. So this is the easiest way to get stuff for cheap. Like, unless you're going to do what that guy, I don't remember the guy's name, but he does Whatnot. He did like $4 million last year, and he does all new tag stuff. Everything, you know, Nike and Carhartt and stuff like that. And he just has people that go out to the outlet stores. He does it in I think he has like a basement.
He's in his basement?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Friends. Yeah. So he has he has people that go out to these outlets.
Still got it wrong.
And what is it? Frenzy?
Renzi. It's
Renzi. Renzi. Okay. Yeah. Renzi. There's a guy, Renzi. And I think if you look him up on YouTube, I don't know if he has a YouTube or he has done interviews though. So you can kind of watch him, but he has people that go out to outlets, and like they'll go out to the outlet malls where stuff's already marked down and go on sale days and buy stuff for as cheap as it's ever going to be in a brick and mortar location. And then he starts everything off at $39, and then he streams for 2 hours a day and absolutely kills it. You know what I mean? So,
and it doesn't hurt that he has 123,000 followers.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's also been doing it for a long time. You know, you're like, of course, you're not going to pop on there. Yeah, look, but 124,000 sold items, you know? So it's like, are you going to pop on there tomorrow and do that? Probably not. But like, you know.
I'm going to pop on there Saturday and do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think there's a lot of ways to do it. I think a lot of people are looking to jump on to Whatnot or even eBay. And you think everything is going to sell that you get for a dollar, you're going to be able to sell it all for $30 or $50 a pop. And it's just not going to typically happen that way in that type of show. And that's where I was at. That's where I was kind of getting to that's kind of my price to pick something up. If especially at the bins lately, am I going to get, is it $30? Am I going to be able to get $30 to $40 for this item? Then I'm picking it up. And like you said, at the bins, it comes out to about $1 a piece. So the margins have definitely gotten a lot better. Have some good in the bolos too. Found some good things.
Yeah. I always like the 5X rule, you know, like if you paid $5, you want $25. And then like, as that price tier goes up, you know, your number of X's can kind of go down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're going to pay, like if you're going to pay $20, you obviously want $100. You know, you don't want to pay $20 and it sells for $40. It's just not, like, it's not the best way to do it.
Yeah. We talked last week. I was going to do a craft show and I still have it scheduled. One person bookmarked it. So get out there and bookmark my craft show.
I almost bought a whole bin of that shit earlier this week. I swear. I almost did, dude. I almost did. I was like, I'm going to freaking do a craft show and be like, Steven, look at this shit. This is insane.
We've been looking for it at the bins. Of course, I couldn't find any more now that I'm looking for it. There was a bunch of yarn.
Great.
Now, thank you. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I'm about
to go. I did find some yarn today. All of it was kind of used, though. And I remember Rob was talking about yarn does really well. And I couldn't bring myself to buy all these balls of yarn, though. I don't know. I just can't go all in on this craft things yet. But there's a lot of it at my bins. I would like to find more of the scrapbooking. So we'll see.
What are we hoping for in the scrapbooking show? Are we just doing $1 sudden death stuff? We doing?
I was gonna do $3 and then I was gonna start at $3 and then take it to $1 and then lot it all up and sell it at the end. Whatever's left that started at $1.
Yeah, I like that.
There we go.
I like that. I was just talking about this today, and I think it's a fantastic strategy, much like eBay, just in a live platform. Is I like to put stuff. I've just started allowing myself to do this. I haven't historically, but I normally would just run a show. Everything that doesn't sell by the end, I just put in a giant bundle and say, somebody buy it, somebody buys it, right? But now I'm doing a whole show. Whatever doesn't sell, I'll put it in the next show. And then if I go through that whole show again and it hasn't sold, then I'll throw in a giant bundle. Because I already start stuff off virtually at $1 every single time. So it's like I can't really do like a dollar clearance type of show just because that doesn't make any sense. But you know what I mean? I'm like being able to cycle it through two shows, because it happens all the time, even in one show. Where you'll like get to the end and you'll be like, hey, I'm going to go back and quickly just run the pieces that didn't sell again. And all of a sudden, like it didn't sell. And then it'll sell for $8 or $10. And you're like, what in the world, dude? You know?
Yeah.
So
also I'm saying that's how I cycle through as well. And I was telling you, because you never know who's coming to that next show. And you have like in every show, you have a standard set of people that come all the time. And then you have people that are coming through this week, and then maybe next week there's a new people. And, you know, just because they don't see it that first time doesn't mean somebody else won't see it the next time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I'm kind of like, you don't know how many times you want to put that same piece. Oh, your Ravens just got a fumble. You don't know how many times you want to put that same piece in in the next show,
Because
like eventually somebody will. Eventually somebody will, buy that piece. Like that piece is for somebody. It just, if you did that and you multiplied that by say 10 items every show, then all of a sudden, you know, you're probably going to have a huge pile of stuff. So,
cause he's closer to Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
Apakabaka. I don't know. Okay. So are we all going to be doing women's clothing and accessories? Well, I already sell handbags, so we're just waiting on Steven.
I could pick up a bunch of women's. I just don't know the stuff. Mary doesn't really either. We picked up men's for so long, and we know the men's category, like inside and out. I mean, all the athletic and just all the jeans and all the button-ups that we'll actually sell. We've done this for so long that we just don't know the women's very well. And I feel like the bins women's is almost all, I don't know. It's all not, down. It's never that, it's never vintage. It's all from the racks that has been picked over. It's never, we don't get many raw donations at our bins. It's just, it's a lot of Walmart stuff. It's just not great women's stuff.
We know how you feel about Walmart.
Yeah.
So I told you guys last week that I was going to do just a whole bunch of like modern graphic tees, right? Didn't I say that last week?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So like, I'm going to go into the women's category and just do a whole bunch of like modern graphic tees because I get, like I said, at my flea market, I can get, I mean, probably 100 of them if I really wanted to, by just walking around, they're all literally a dollar. And, but I was also on the flip side of that coin. I'm like, there's not that many plus size streams. So what if I just grabbed like 50 pieces? Don't even care what they are. Right. Cause it's like, it's just a test run. You got to be able to, you have to be willing to invest $50 to just try to figure it out real quick and just go buy at the bins one day, just go buy every single 1X, 2X, 3X, a women's piece that you pick up, jeans, shirt, tank top, hoodie, whatever. And then just like get 30 pieces of it or 40 pieces of it, you know, like as long as it's not literally Shein, then everything else I'm going to buy. And then I'm going to do a plus size show and it's just going to be like random ass, but everything's going to be 1, 2, and 3X and see what happens. Like if you have the ability to go to a place like the bins where everything is so cheap, it's like, it's so, for me, it's so worth it to just invest $30, $40 one time and just buy a whole bunch of just shit that you don't know about and then run a whatnot show with it. And then you're going to find out that either A, everything works, right? That just the whole category is great. Or B, there's going to be 40% of all of that stuff that you bought that actually went for some decent money. So then you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to do that again, but I'm going to cut out the 60% of just obviously junk that I bought and then just buy more of this 40% stuff. You know what I mean?
But I could claw my eyes out trying to sell that 60%. Yeah, I could not.
But like, you won't even have to. Think about this. You get every, you get, we'll just say 100 pieces just to make it easy math, but you get 100 pieces, right? And you sell, and say it's $100, a dollar average, and you sell 40 pieces, and say the average price is $4, right? The average price is $4. After fees, you're probably looking at like $330 or something like that, okay? Now you're up to 70, okay? So take the other 60%. And put it in a big ball and kick that shit out your front door. Who cares? You don't need to sell that, right? Like you don't even need to sell it.
I get it, dude. I get it.
Because it's like you're already up, and it's not about the money that you're up right now. It's about the knowledge that you're up. Like you're up way more knowledge than you are money, because the money will come after that, right? Just like scrapbooking. Like you're going to go and do a scrapbook show. Is it going to be this blowout crazy, like this crazy thing? Maybe, maybe not. But almost a guarantee there will be some stuff in there that will sell, and there will be some stuff that won't sell. And you're going to know. Me too. I'm stoked for it because I'm like, oh, dude, if I go in there and there's 25 people in there and I go to your solds and you sold 30 things, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, great. Like now I'm going to go and pick up a bunch of scraps.
Don't be a little bitch if they all have my name next to them.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, your initial investment is so little for the knowledge that you're going to get, you know? Like, that's how I
have like 80 items. I probably paid $2 for those 80 items.
Even better. Like, dude, if you sell two things, you're up. You're up.
Yeah.
I get stoked about this stuff because I'm like, dude, just the fact that everybody's kind of just, all right, let's see where we can go. Like, let's see where this thing takes us. To me, it's so sick. I'm like, fuck, dude, we might just end up being like big girl sellers and dang scrapbook sellers and freaking, you know. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Know where, like, you were gonna go there. Did you just monitor yourself? Did you just like, you toned it down there for that? You were getting ready to.
I was about to go off. Yeah, I was about to go off, but then I had to realize that like I'm trying to sell stuff. So yeah, hey, I will tell you this about, and it's probably the same in a scrapbook type thing where it's like probably a pretty female dominated area, is that like when I run a hat show, right, or whatever, I could just say what the fuck I want. I'm like, you know, I just say anything in the world in there and it's totally fine. And then it's like you go to the girl show, you know, and I'm like, I'm like really like minding my P's and Q's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I do. Yeah. I'm like, there's so much shit that I'm so used to saying on this live stream that I can't venture down that road because it'll get dicey quick.
Mikey in the crowd shows cracks me up, man. Mikey's just like,
oh. Hey, when they kept saying cunt in there, dude, that like made me lose my mind. The whole time. Were you there for that? Like, or did you see that, Steven?
Yeah, I was there. Hey,
did we tell you about that? Dude, okay, yeah. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Let's not use it again for YouTube. So I don't know. No, I don't know where that one falls on the spectrum.
Dude, we already have an E. We already have an E next to our thing. I run this skirt, right? I run this skirt in the girls' show, and this girl writes in there, and she's like, "That's so cunty," and I'm like, "So of course I read it, right? Like it's just a chat. I just read it," and I'm like, "And mind you, there's 80 or 90 people in this show," and I'm like, "Oh shit!" I'm like, "Hey, I'm like, you know, Alyssa or whatever said that shit wasn't me." You know, I was like, "I just read it, wasn't me." And then the whole chat's going crazy. And they're like, it's not what is it called when you're saying stuff to be mean to somebody?
Derogatory word.
Yeah, it's not, they're like, it's not derogatory. Like it's a description for like the vibe that this like item is giving off. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's cool. But I'm like, yeah, there's words that people can say that like I can't say, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want to venture down the road. And they were,
he does just say bro in a women's show all the time.
Oh, all the sex. Oh yeah, all the time. And I'm like, well, dude, can I say that? And or I'm like, I don't want to say stuff I can't say. I'm like, that seems a little like out of pocket. And they were all like, oh, you gotta say it. So, dude, that was like the word of the day. We were just freaking rocking and rolling with it. It was fun.
Him and his big hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it because the skirt is so short?
Yeah, it was like short, and then it had like this like plaid pattern to it. It looked literally like a mini, almost like a mini school skirt type of thing or whatever. And yeah, so like now in all the shows that I've done since, like they'll come in there and be like, this is giving, you know. And then that word that I can say now because I got the pass. But yeah, so it was awesome.
Those passes don't transfer from show to show.
Oh, well, dude. You have to
re-earn the pass every day.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I do.
It's like being passed up past 9:30. Look, your pass just got revoked.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, I was in the club for a little bit. I was in the club for a little bit.
You gotta go to bed in less than an hour.
Nah, dude, I got a freaking Whatnot show in 45 minutes.
Yeah, what are you running tonight?
Amped up.
Jewelry.
More jewelry?
Tons and tons of jewelry.
Jewelry.
Tons. I got Sterling in there and stuff. Didn't you say something about Sterling?
Yeah, you're supposed to. Yeah.
I have a whole pot. See, like this whole pile right here that you can't really see that well is all Sterling.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just going like, to sell off a bunch of 925 for $4.
925. Bro, look at this ring, dude. This ring is insane.
Do not sell that on Whatnot, bro. Take it down to the
I'm not doing it.
They will give you.
I'm not doing it.
You get $5 for an ounce of 925 when you could take it straight down to the gold shop and get $49 for it.
925. Dude, $4. Listen. Guys, you're not getting it. It's not about the money.
Not that part.
It's not about the money. It's about what all of this shit brings to you. You're never gonna get. You won't get melt price, of course, or whatever it's called for all that stuff.
Spot.
But like, guess what? Spot. But if I can sit here, and at some point get 60 or 70%. Dude, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to enjoy myself and talk to the chat and hang out, you know, like I don't care about none of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Did I show you?
And like, how much is it? Like, how much is an ounce? You know what I mean? Like this thing right here, is all 925.
It's an ounce.
I'm saying like, how do you figure that out? Like,
do you have a scale?
Like, well, the scale.
that you ship
with. You guys are the worst, dude. Yeah, but it's you guys are the worst, dude. I'm not asking that, but I'm like, just picking it up is like
$49.
So this says 0.5 of an ounce. Right, this whole thing.
$25.
$25? Yes.
Yeah, if you took it to the silver shot or to one of the coin places.
But I'm not.
They would give you at least $25.
This one right here. This one, dude, this one's heavy. All 925. Ready? Oh, 0.9.
Yeah. Should be around $47. It would probably be good for you to go ahead and weigh it before you sell it. That might help the customers in your show make a decision on how much they are willing to pay for something.
Damn, you know what?
Oh shit, the light bulb's coming on. Did I show you the tiny little cement truck?
It's so cute.
That's so fun. It's hard to see your resolution needs a little work.
Yeah, we're gonna give him some real internet by the next time that he's on here.
I'm not even on my Wi-Fi, and I literally have four bars, and there you can only have four bars.
I don't know.
Get to that fifth one.
Damn it.
All right, before we get it's almost bolo time, but before we get there, I wanted to show everybody what I was talking about. This did sell. So we were talking about a great, I didn't want to not get to it after I hyped it up. We were talking about a great place to do some online arbitrage where you could get whether it's Amazon returns, Walmart returns, whatever it is. And this place is called bidfta.com. And let me show you what just sold. I almost bid on them. The catch to it is you have to get there within like 3 days to pick up your item. And mine is like 2 hours away. So I'm not able to get there all the time.
I think I had one near me.
Check out this that sold. So the MSRP is usually pretty close when they, this just sold like right before I came on. I was looking at it, and a whole set of AI Smoke 4-3 pitching wedge sold for $380. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I think they're at least $600 on eBay, right? I think they're.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. And I think the MSRP of $930 is pretty close to what you pay for in the shop. So I think
that's 4-3 pitching wedge. Graphite, yeah. That's probably a regular shaft. That's what light is. Light might be the senior shaft, so.
Yeah, and I don't.
Or women's.
I don't see that many golf clubs on here, honestly. But they just have all sorts of stuff on here. You can change your, wherever your pickup point is. Yeah, you can go to nearby locations. But you know those kind of commercials that you say, I got this for $1. This is like one of those places. Yeah. This one is real. I mean, this is some wall art. You probably won't be getting wall art, but you can go to
that coffee table.
Oh, there's some more golf clubs.
Oh boy.
See, but you can go in here. You can bid. This is the type of items that are in here. And a lot of them are just returns. Like you can get a mattress topper for $4. Lawnmower. This one's $30. Just, it's really cool. You just have to go and pick it up within 3 days after you bid on it. And there's good stuff.
Yeah, no locations in California.
Yeah, there's the closest thing to me is Northeast Tennessee.
Oh, you're going to make me look now, aren't you?
Really?
Yeah,
they have to have some companies like this around y'all, though.
Where to you, you're going to be in like Ohio or maybe also in Northeast Tennessee, or actually New York, I guess, but they're like almost in the like north, like mid Northeast part of New York.
Yeah, hopefully this doesn't show any personal information, but here, let me show you this.
Yeah, hopefully it's social security number.
Yeah, let me go to my receipts here. I want to show everybody what I bought. This is everything that I bought the last time.
Is that a faucet?
No, that was a hand roll. These are speakers. Oh, this. I don't know where it was. Oh, here.
Yeah, like it would be New York or Tennessee, one of the two.
Yeah.
So this Powerlogy atmospheric water generator that I bought for $8.50. This thing, one, it retails for like $1,100. Wow. And it, basically it makes water out of the air. It's basically like a humidifier, but it catches the water. Then it filters. It's
magic.
Yeah. And it filters the water. So it's pretty cool. And they're just things like that. If you just spend a little bit of time researching things, and you get to do it from like the comfort of your own home.
Have you sold it yet, Steven?
No, I've been there was a problem with it. Whoever sent it back, it appears that it does work, but they left like water in the filters and the water spilled out in the box. And
son of a bitch.
Yes, that's what I said. And it's like moldy. And so there was mold in the air filter. So I think I'm going to have to get a new air filter for it. But
what the hell, man?
Yeah. Probably $600 to $800, I would think I could get for it. But there are opportunities like that around too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool. And the good thing about that place is now they opened up, there is a Benz right next door to it. So when you go pick up all your stuff, you can hit
the Steven's double dipping.
Yeah.
The problem is,
Steven, it wasn't long ago was like, hey, I hate sourcing. I'm a lister. Like, sourcing's the worst thing ever. I just want to sit at home and list. And now look at this guy. He's sourcing on the internet, driving 2 hours, picking stuff up, doing exactly what we talked about, which is you go pick shit up, and then along the route, you find other places to stop, maximize your time, do that, come back. Come on. Yeah. Like, that, you're a freaking animal.
That Benz actually has hats, too. So it's a much better Benz than ours.
Is that Oklahoma City?
Yeah. No, that's Rogers. But Oklahoma City has hats, too. Ours just does not, hardly ever. It's been terrible.
Yeah, ours is always shit, so.
Dog shit.
Yeah. It gets about 30 minutes out of me every week, maybe, something like that.
Look, here's how bad mine is. Somebody from the other side of the country told me not to go there.
That is pretty funny.
Oh, which is that moment? That one on the east side of Baltimore? Don't go to that. Okay.
That's literally amazing. I like the one with my uncle's town in Fredericksburg, Virginia. That's a good one.
That's not very close to me, though.
I don't know. Yep. I don't know the geography of.
We were talking how we would like to go maybe this summer and like hit like 6 or 8 cities of just Benz and kind of maybe document the difference in all of them and the kind of stuff that you could find.
Be in Jacksonville?
Yeah. Oh, well, don't come here for Benz, but come here to hang out with your boy. We'll go to the Flea.
Definitely going to the Flea if I get to Florida. But I'm just talking about in our area about 3 to 5 hours.
Let me know because I'll find my way there. I'm pretty sure there's a Southwest flight that goes from BWI to Jax.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I have 3 bedrooms.
Here, about 3 to 5 hours away, I mean, I could get Oklahoma City, Dallas, probably Little Rock, Arkansas, Kansas City, Missouri. Denver would be quite a ways away. But
you're only a 16-hour drive from me, Steven. Well, that's the Oklahoma City.
Mike, we're going to have to fly into Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, I will, dude. I've never been to Oklahoma. I'd love to go to Oklahoma.
There is nothing in Oklahoma.
Yeah, except for Zach Bryan.
The Hat House is there.
the Hat House or watch the Thunder, which they are playing right now too, I think.
Yeah, right. I would love to go to Oklahoma, and I would just be scouring Facebook Marketplace so hard.
Hard.
For my listing?
There's just no fleas out there. That's not like that. That's not cool. I don't love that.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Are we playing the music right now? Rob, can you hear the music? Your favorite cash
finds. Raiders keep you informed. It's not playing. Raiders
bolos. It is playing, I hear it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Now look who can't hear it. I've never been able to hear the music, and I'm not lying about it.
Can you really hear it, Rob?
Yep. I hear it pretty well.
See?
Can the chat hear it?
I told you that.
Chat, can you hear the music?
I can't hear it.
Gab, Quirk, Manda.
This is unreal.
It's so loud they all laugh.
Oh, Manda said that that she can hear it. Oh, Deb can also hear it.
Oh my goodness. I guess it's polo time. I can't hear it. What do you got? Rob, you want to go first?
Sure, you got them up there, right? They're on the deck there. Oh, you went to the good one first.
I'm sorry.
Oh my.
All right, but here we go. Lord. Best made company. Check out these coats. There's like five or six there. Two of them didn't come up with a picture for some reason. Huh. Redraw must have been off on that. But anyway, look at the value of these things. Depends on which one you grab. But, I mean, you're talking $4 to $7 bills.
Damn.
Best made company.
Best made company.
Oh, I wax cotton?
Yeah, even taught me about wax cotton.
Yeah, that's good. I will definitely be looking at the jacket racks from now on for something that says best made company.
Yeah, they do really good in hats.
Yeah, if you pull up one of these on eBay for reference, you guys will see what the tag looks like inside the collar.
There you go, Rob.
Now, coincidentally, best made company also produces Japanese made denim.
Like selvage?
Like jeans made in Japan.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, that was a yeah. He said, hey, you talk to you like a dumbass. He said, like, denim, jeans, oh, that's so funny. Oh, my God, it's hilarious.
Briani. There you go. Briani ties are ridiculously expensive. So if you got one on the pre-owned market, you're looking somewhere at a bill.
Yeah, the tie list is usually pretty low, but Briani is definitely on the list
Briani is definitely one you want to, just when you're looking around, you see the whole box of ties and you're flipping through them. If you see one that says Briani, snatch it out.
That is Briani.
Yes.
Briani.
For sure.
Briani.
It keeps changing my thing.
Oh, you're back to circles? Legit. Now you're back to squares. Circles to squares. Circles to squares.
All right, Mike.
All right, I'm going.
What are we looking for?
Real good Pendleton blanket. We had a real good Pendleton blanket. This one's called Beaver. That's what the tag looks like. The Beaver State. I mean, pretty standard bolo. But what was interesting about this one was that I picked this up at an estate sale on a Sunday at like 2 p.m. And it'd been there obviously all weekend. So
obviously.
Yeah, there's obviously tons of resellers, and it wasn't hidden away by any means.
Southwest Print and the Pendleton.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly. I thought, frankly, everybody in the world that has ever sold anything knows about Pendleton, but just in case.
If I found a Pendleton blanket, I probably wouldn't sell it. It probably would.
Really? Yeah. You keep it?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it gets cold where you live.
Yeah.
So, here you go. That's a good one. Like 2000 and
Pokemon
one. Yeah. The Game Boy.
Oh, it's the Game Boy one. Yeah.
Yeah. The Game Boy. What is this? Pokemon Crystal? Yeah. Game Boy. It was just the game. It wasn't, didn't have the box or anything, but I got that when I was doing the flea across Florida. We stopped in Tallahassee to see my sister, and it was actually sitting in a case in almost like a thrift store type of area or whatever. I paid $20 for it. So that one sold pretty quick, or actually not as quick as I thought. I mean, the thing had like a billion views on it. It was really good though. And then this one, this isn't a crazy sale, a crazy high price, but it did sell in a day, and the sell through rate on these are really, really good. These boots are called Double H. These ones were like steel toed or some kind of hard composite on the toe. They sold for $55, not $70. And they sold in like a day or two or whatever. And but the sell-through rate on those boots are really, really good. And depending on the style code, they can go up to like over $200. Just depends on which one you get. So
Double H?
Yeah, they're called Double H. Anytime you're looking at cowboy boots, I always look at them and I'm like, if they're made in Mexico or Italy or America, I'm like, I'm always just going to at least give them a look.
You know? Usually comes down to condition too.
Yeah.
I mean, people just wear the crap out of their cowboy boots. Yeah. And if you find them in really good condition from, like you said, one of those places that make good boots.
Yeah.
They're usually at least $50.
Your pattern. And like when you pick it up, if it feels like dog shit, it's going to not be a good boot to, you know,
right.
It'll like, but if like a lot of the snakeskin ones do well, the python and the rattlesnake, the alligator, the crocodile,
the ostrich, yeah, like the dog shit boots.
Yeah. Yeah. Ish. So the feels everything.
Feel is everything.
Are you ready for me?
Gonna get cracked.
Like you check it out.
I didn't have a lot of $100 plus. Jeez. I had several like 5,200. I didn't even take a. I do want to show you this though, because I finally got in the toy game, and I did my first auction on eBay in quite a while.
Dying to get in it. He's been dying to get in the toy game.
They paid $16 in shipping too. $46 for some Roblox toys, boys.
No way that costs $16 to ship, right?
No, it costs like $5.
Yeah,
but anyway. I bought a whole box of toys, kind of like you said the other day, and I just auctioned pieces of it off. And the Roblox one is actually the one that did pretty well for $50. And like I said, something like this you get for 50 cents at the bins. What I do think was the best in this is if you see a bunch of these like virtual codes, like these do really well, and you might just see these laying around for next to nothing. They have these scratch off things on the back, and I guess you can still redeem most of them for whatever Roblox does with those codes. So that was pretty cool. From 50 cents into 50. And then what else do we have here? Oh, this sold. In
that's sick.
6 hours. It sold like in 6 hours. Some people were getting $100 for theirs. Somebody offered me $70 like a couple hours after you list it, and you're just like, okay, I don't know how long I'll wait for $20 more, but this was badass.
And that's so sick.
It was a good one. I couldn't believe that I found it at our bins, something vintage and awesome like that. typically not vintage.
Somebody dropped it off, Pat. Somebody dropped it off, passing through town.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a really good one. And
this is for anybody not watching, it's a 1996 Atlanta Olympics leather jacket. Green. And it's like all green and it has the like a lot of the country's flags that kind of go across the shoulder all the way down the back of the arms. It's so like that is so sweet.
Yeah. And I probably could have waited for 100 to 120, but
yeah. You're on. If that's the it, $20 for you selling it in a couple hours. Yeah.
That's
all it's a banger. I'm going to call that a banger.
Yeah. Paid $4 for it. Banger. You know, $2, whatever.
Banger alert.
And I told you I was picking up crazy stuff too, right? Where that was hard to ship. I don't know if I'll pick this one up again. Check out this. A hands-free knee crutch for $50. There you go. $30 shipping on this thing too. This did cost like $22 to ship. So, and it took a pretty big big box. But I promise you I would just start picking up some random crazy stuff. And like, I don't know, I'm a sucker for a decent offer, I guess. It sells for like 70, I took 50.
Yeah.
Whatever. And just move it.
Out the door to cash is in the pocket. That's all that matters.
Hey, yeah. Steven, you remember one of my bolos from like one of the early episodes, right?
Well, it was a fake arm, right?
Or oh, yeah, way.
Leg.
Fake leg. Yeah,
that prosthetic leg. That
prosthetic I leg.
And it was a kid size.
Right.
Oh. I'm telling you right now.
How long did you wait to sell a kid's prosthetic leg?
I don't remember. Now, it wasn't long. It wasn't 6 months or anything. I don't even think it was 3 months. Like I don't remember, but it was within a 90-day period, if I remember right.
She said there it's met for weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks. So. Bandit, did it scare you?
Yeah, she was like, I don't want that in there. So I used it as a prop in my man room for until it sold. That was awesome.
I don't remember if I've ever brought this brand of electronics up. Earbuds. Plantronics. Yeah, is really good. These sell awesome, $80 to $100 all the time, especially these that have the ear hook on them. Does really good, and Plantronics is a really, really good brand.
Nice.
You got to remind the buyer to pay, man.
They've been around.
Oh, yeah. Time. Oh, that was just today, wasn't it? Hopefully it pays soon.
Get on them.
Louis
out there.
Oh.
You send Louis out there.
A giant thing that I don't know if you guys know. And
your resolution is finally updated. Better.
Thank you so much. Whatnot updated, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, Rob, but now you can scan your packages in from your phone. Anybody seen this? Yes. So today I packed that whole show, and I do all the packing on, or I do all the shipping on the computer anyway, but then I'll go and I'll print the, or I'll go and get the
scan sheet.
The scan sheet, right? And so it pops up and it says, do you want to try the whatever it's called, the phone scan, whatever. I can't remember what it's called. And I'm like, hell yeah. I click it and it just pops up your thing and you just hold the barcode right in front of the thing and it will scan it. It's super quick too. It scans it, it checks it off, and then it sends that to the buyer. And so I did all 63 or two packages that I had, and they all showed up as scanned in.
And you did it at the self-scan kiosk?
No, at my office, through my phone. When I went here...
How is that scanned in?
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. When I went here, right, there was right here where it says today's task, it obviously said 60 whatever... things.
Right.
I went to go click onto that, and then at the bottom it popped up and it was like said, I don't remember the exact words, but it was something of like, do you want to scan your packages in with this thing? And I was like, yeah. And so I clicked on it and it opened up the camera on my phone, and I just scanned in all of the labels with my phone. And then it came up and it did not, you know how it says your today's tasks until you scan it in, it'll show that it's
so that let me ask you this. When you went to your show, and did it all say shipped or did it say
all scanned? Said shipped. All said shipped. All said scanned in. It all went away. Cause like normally even if
it does that when you ship it.
But when it comes up on today's tasks, it'll still be there. Even if you printed the label, it's still there until it's scanned in. That's when it goes away.
If you set it, what I'm saying is when I hit shipped, they all go away. They don't count as scanned in until the post office scans it. They even tell you that if you take it and you go to the kiosk and you do your self scan, it doesn't count until they've scanned it in. I'll see what you're saying after Saturday. Hopefully, I saw something.
Wait, no. If you scan something in at the self scan, that counts.
No,
100%.
It does not count until they scan it.
Is that true, Steven?
I've never used a kiosk. I don't have one.
Oh, really?
I couldn't answer.
Well, here. I can look at this real quick. Let's go to this. Let's go to the tracking.
Yeah, go to the tracking. Have you dropped them off?
Yeah, of course. Come on, man. Of course, you already know I'd be doing that.
Well, then they've already been scanned at the post office. So
I wanted to see what time it shows scanned in at. And
it probably shows scanned at a kiosk.
But it wasn't at a kiosk. It was through my phone. Yeah,
something he did on his phone.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't show anything on the tracking as far as like it shows when they scanned it. You know what I mean? Like normally if you go to the kiosk, you scan it and then it says that like it's been scanned in and you've received a receipt for it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't say that, which is very disappointing. But anyway, I don't know. Then I don't know why the fuck they'd make that a thing. I don't give a shit about scanning it in here. If it don't count for shit, cool. I'll just click the thing that I've always been clicking.
Something else
I thought it was cool. Like I was in there.
Where'd he go?
He got scanned.
Hey, Bill,
in.
Man. You didn't get scanned. Here we go. PWI to OKC. Takes me almost a day. How long does it take? 7 hours. That's with a stop. Where's my no stops?
Probably definitely have a layover.
Yeah, it says I got a layover.
There's probably not much direct into OKC.
Oh, anyway, it's only 50.
Definitely a polka. The Seminole with the little Seminole guy on it is definitely a great one. Great.
I have three of those downstairs right now.
Yeah.
They were trying to take me out right there, dude.
He almost looked like the Redskins guy, you. Right?
They got you, though. Mikey, look.
What? Oh, cheat. Yeah, that's the OKC.
OKC, baby. Let's go. I'm booking it right now. You ready?
To the bins.
Well, hey, let me do a layover in Maryland so we can hang out for a day without Steven, and then we'll go see Steven. Dude, hey, I know you got like a 6-bedroom house, dude. So like, let me just get one room for freaking one night. Three.
One's my office and one's my cat's room.
That's hate.
You can stay in the cat's room.
Thanks. So okay, well, I don't know why they did that update then. So I guess it does nothing. I thought it showed everything scanned in, which I was like, that's great.
You can't scan in your own stuff, bro. Is what I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't
that know. Defeats the whole purpose.
I know what Apakabaka's saying is that you know Seminole gets passed over a lot by people in Florida, but I don't know why. Why people in Florida should know the value of that golf club. So why would they pass it over? I don't get it. Because he's right. You sell those things; they're money.
They're so fast. Same with Stream Song too. I happen to know
Stream Song, and then what's the other one? The I'm drawing a blank at this point. They don't. They think. Oh, they think it's FSU? Really?
Oh, that makes sense. But the guy on it looks more like the old Washington Redskins guy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of looks more like that guy than a FSU. All right. So make sure you catch Fired Up Finds tonight. What are you running? What are you running?
5 minutes, dude. If you like jewelry, come holler at me. Steven, if you want to make some money, there ain't no reason you're not going to come by this Sterling.
Pine Valley.
Pine Valley. That's it.
Steven's
That's
like, awesome oh my God, this guy's just giving away money for free. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm blessing.
All right.
I'm blessing.
Everybody,
head on. I'm blessing.
Look at this. Make sure catch us live every single Wednesday night, unless we're live on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday is also possible too. Catch us live every week. We'd love to see you here. We appreciate everybody hanging out.
Heck yeah. Thank you guys.
Absolutely.
Until next time, we'll talk everything eBay to whatnot.
Hey, Mitch, hang on Shut one up. Second. Paka Baka's got a question there for us.
One more question. Last minute thoughts on new promotion eBay stuff, charging for any view. I just read it quickly. I didn't really get into the details of what
very good Deb
of what it was saying. I thought I didn't really see how it was different. Charging for any view, as in, I thought it already did that anyways. Whether you clicked on it, it charged you. Whether they went to another listing and clicked on something different, as long as they clicked on any promoted listing in your store, you're basically stuck with that promoted listing if they buy anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'll read up on it for next time to get a little more familiar with it. We can definitely cover it next week.
Most deaf.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He's saying if anyone clicks on your promoted, it will charge you if another person buys it.
You're still getting charged for that click.
It sounds like kind of what we've talked about anyways. That's why I'm lowering my cost of goods to as close to zero as possible to put in the built-in promoted and being able to still make money on basically knowing that everything is going to sell promoted listing if you're going to sell on eBay.
Yeah.
I think that's just the life that it's going to be, whether it's 5%, 10%, whatever it is. I think you're going to have to. The people that are going to win on eBay are the ones that either get merchandise for cheaper, or I think that's who's going to win, who can get it for less and keep your margins up. It sucks, but
good questions, good discussion.
Good question. Appreciate y'all hanging out tonight. We'll see y'all again very soon next week.
Deb, see you Saturday. Paka Baka, thanks for coming back again.
See you guys.
Usually part of the replay crew. Love it.